The US State Department estimates that between 300,000 and 400,000 women are trafficked in or from the Philippines every single year. 80% are women aged under 18 years old. Poverty, corruption, and lack of education opportunities all contribute to this appalling toll, where women can easily fall into a cycle of violence, substance abuse, and exploitation. Their stories too often remain hidden. A new book is trying to change all that. It's called I Have a Voice, Trafficking of Women in Their Own Words. And it tells the stories of 40 trafficked women from the central province of Cebu. Here, one of those trafficked women, Christy, tells part of her story. And a warning, this is very, very confronting.
I was raped and subjected to many violence acts. I was so drugged up, and sometimes I would go without sleep for 24 hours. When I took drugs, I lost my appetite and I could not sleep. When the effect of the drugs wore off, I wanted another shot. If I am on drugs, I can entertain men because I am not ashamed. But if I am not on drugs, I don't like customers.
I Have a Voice is a 7-year collaboration between Angela Reed, an Australian nun of the Religious Sisters of Mercy, and Marietta Latonio, a social worker. James Carlton spoke with Angela Reed earlier.
Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you, James.
So what drew you to the Philippines?
Well, before I ever went to the Philippines, I ran a women's safe house here in Melbourne for women in domestic violence. And during that time, I met a number of women who I can now safely say that were trafficked. And I came across Filipino women, Thai women, Chinese women, but I had the opportunity to go to the Philippines. And it was when I went to the Philippines that I began to hear more of the stories of women from there.
And do those US State Department statistics, are they real? 300,000 to 400,000 women a year trafficked? 4 out of 5 girls?
Yeah, well, James, it's very difficult to ascertain the numbers, as you would understand, because it's such an illicit trade. And so they are as accurate as can be, I guess, estimated, really. And that's why my research is qualitative. It looks at the actual stories of the women, and I think it tells us more about trafficking than perhaps numbers do.
Because we used to think for years, decades, that people live in abject poverty. Someone comes along to a village or with promises of waitressing work. They offer sums of money that will sustain an entire family, and the daughter is sent off to do the work. That's the image we have in our head of how this process works. But you and your testimony tell a different story.
Well, I suppose I'm not negating completely that story, but what I am trying to say is that it is more complex, that we need to look perhaps beyond just saying it's all about poverty and it's all about people being taken from safe communities. I argue that it's perhaps more sinister in the sense that victimisation begins from a very young age and continues right through to early adulthood. And I really talk about exploiting vulnerability, that the idea that a person is so vulnerable that they make easy prey to traffickers.
How are girls and women in the Philippines exploited before they're trafficked?
Well, there are a number of factors. The stories that women have shared indicate early childhood sexual abuse from one or more members of the family or local community. Also, they're often isolated in areas where they can't access education, they can't access other kinds of things like food, as I said, schooling, other things that make them vulnerable, perhaps absent parents and being left in the care of grandparents who can't actually provide for their needs.
And is that why in the Philippines there are so many people who can't access education, there are so many people who live in poverty, there are so many people who struggle to get a meal on the table, and yet they are not trafficked?
That's correct. And that's really what the women drew my attention to. They said to me, look, yes, poverty is one factor, but we need to look more deeply because there are many people who live in poverty that aren't trafficked. And that's where I draw on issues such as gendered violence, neglect and marginalisation, particularly of young girls.
Now, you've done this research in a qualitative way, and that makes it all the more moving because you've collated so many testimonies.
Yes.
Tell us about the range of experiences you've revealed.
Well, women that I interviewed over that time were roughly about 21 years old when I interviewed them, but the majority of them had been trafficked when they were around 15 years of age. Some of them came from very rural areas and they actually ran away from a very unsafe environment, and in travelling they were picked up easily by recruiters. One young woman, her mother was prostituted when she was a child, and so she was told that she was destined to be prostituted herself. There were other stories where a young woman's mother was beaten to death by her father, and she sought a better life in the city and again was picked up.
And are these women trafficked to Australia?
We know that women are trafficked to Australia. We don't know which women. We have some cases. Project Respect would say that about 1,000 women are trafficked a year to Australia, but we don't know exactly how many and where they're coming from.
What's the response of the Philippines government to this?
Well, in actual fact, the Philippines have got very good laws related to human trafficking, and they have had some prosecutions. But I often say, you know, the Philippines has an incredibly large population. Compared to Australia, it's a huge population. So how do you actually implement such laws? How do you make sure that people are kept safe? But I certainly don't take the stand that let's point the finger at the Philippine government and say, you know, it's about their lack of care or support of their own people. I mean, it's really a global issue.
And is Australia doing what it should to prevent the trade?
Yes, Australia is actually working towards, and I believe have improved in understanding trafficking and have put policies in place to prevent trafficking. But I still think we have a lot of learning to do. You know, it's not all about border control and crime control. It's also about looking at the issue from a very human rights perspective and looking at the victim as the most important person that we must support.
Angela Reid, thank you very much for collating these testimonies and sharing them with us.
Thank you very much.
Angela Reid is a Sister of Mercy Catholic nun, speaking with James Carlton. And with social worker Marietta Latonio, Angela has gathered the stories of 40 trafficked women from the central Philippines province of Cebu in a new book called I Have a Voice, Trafficking of Women in Their Own Words. And we should all remember what she just told us, about 1,000 women, they reckon, trafficked to Australia every single year. It beggars belief, doesn't it?